good mark.
And we are underway.
From Rainbow Bay to Rainbow Beach to the Switch and everything in between.
I'm going to have fun and you're going to have fun.
Have a funny day.
Go. Have fun now.
Your new local. You're going to love this place. It's the Rush Hour with Liesl Jones, Liam and Dobbo.
Happy Monday. Another week here on the Rush Hour.
Public servants are now... Public service announcement.
Put your teeth back
in, Jones.
I just
got real excited. Alan's jelly beans are now vegan.
What do you mean?
They're vegan now.
What were they before? Full of meat.
Beetles in them. What? So they had a South American beetle known as the cochineal.
I beg your pardon.
Excuse me. And are commonly used the world over to add colour to everything from ice creams, yogurt, soft drinks, and even lipstick. So the colours of the jelly beans were made up by crushed beetles. So they come in all different colours. I knew this about lipsticks, but I didn't know that about jelly beans. Now they'll be just using plant-based colours to be able to dye the jelly beans.
Wait. So all those things you just listed
are
coloured by beetles.
Beetles. A South American beetle, which are dried, crushed up, and they become the dye because they're highly pigmented. They're all the reds and the pinks and the greens and...
All the beetles are those colours.
All the beetles
and
they crush them up and they make the colours.
They go all the green beetles.
I guess so
you're going to be jelly beans.
I've been eating beetles for a long time.
Beetles, yeah. I like crickets.
No idea.
Have you eaten crickets before?
Yeah.
They're delicious.
Yeah. But I tell you this now, I don't know if I'd eat jelly beans again if I knew that they were beetles. So
really?
What are they now?
They're just food-based, like just colours, natural colours from beetroot
I would have thought
and
that would be
paprika.
Cheaper.
Beetroot and paprika.
I would have thought that would have been a cheaper alternative anyway.
You would have thought so. But bugs you can mass produce, I guess.
How many of these beetles are there?
Where do you grow that many beetles to make jelly beans?
Let me look it up.
This is fascinating.
Mm. I never even thought that there was enough beetles in the world to make the jelly beans.
Well, you think about all the things Liesl just listed that they colour.
I know.
Ice cream, lipstick.
What are they called?
Beetles. That's your ear.
Cochineal.
Cochineal.
Oh. Yeah. Nice. Look it up.
Mm. Yeah, you got to be careful of the...
Yeah, what you Google.
Do not Google cochineal.
Hang on, South American beetle cochineal.
Cochineal or cochineal?
Don't.
Cochineal.
Either of those things, because otherwise you might end up on a Milton Road billboard.
Oh, they're kind of like no colour, but when you squash them, they go red.
Yeah, if you squash most things, it goes red. It's called blood.
No, it's like a actual something that comes out of them, like not blood.
Right.
Mm,
in
gross.
The end, and the sum is that Alan's jelly beans are now beetle free.
Yeah.
Right.
You can enjoy your jelly beans beetle free.
I'm glad
especially if you're on a diet.
So I won't be eating them again.
No.
I'm banning myself from
jelly
beans
now.
They're vegan
now. You can
now.
Eat them.
Oh, I could eat them.
You can eat them.
Well, over the vegan in 2023. We should be celebrating the fact that this weekend the Brisbane Lions will take on the Melbourne Demons in the AFLW Grand Final.
Significant.
Huge.
Massive.
Best two teams all year.
Yeah.
Lions been the best, earned the right to a home grand final.
Did it easy on Friday night.
Against the Crows, exactly right. But all the conversation over the weekend from down south is about how the game should be played in Melbourne because Brisbane doesn't have an oval that's up to hosting the thing.
Well, let's just step through it. Normally, the rite of passage is that the women's AFLW side would be playing at the Gabba.
That's
but
right.
That, because they co-share with the cricketers, that's out of action.
They got booted.
Yeah, so then you go to,
Metricon.
There's a bloody concert on there.
Calvin Harris.
Yeah, Calvin
booted.
Harris. So they're off there. So where do you go? You head to Toowoomba? I mean, there's a bloody beautiful AFL field out at Mount Isa. You could go there. Or you could go to an $80 million facility, which is the Brisbane Lions
training facility
and their
home
ground.
Arena.
Yeah, in 4305, mate. Right in Heartland
Springfield.
Yeah, in the Ipswich City Council catchment.
Right. Well, it was officially opened up to the media today for the first time, Brighton Homes Arena, by this man, the CEO of the Brisbane Lions, Mr. Greg Swan. G'day, Swanny.
How are you, gang?
All right. Geez, there's been some heat, brother. Congratulations, firstly, for getting the women through to the grand final. But, geez, you've had some heat. The last thing you would have thought you had to worry about is every single journo's a grass expert.
Yeah, correct. And there's a lot of, as you touched on there, the people down south are saying, you know, this is not a suitable venue. Like, they want to come and have a look at this place. It's the best venue in Australia. As you said, we spent $80 million on it. It's got a capacity eventually of about 10,000. So it's, you know, it's, but we've designed it in a way that suits Queensland. So we've got one grandstand, but we've got a lot of grass hills and things like that. People can come along, have a bit of a picnic rug, sit and watch the footy. And I don't know. I'm a bit perplexed as to how they keep saying that this is not suitable, but the grass is in great nick. We had the national guy who looks after all the stadiums around the country came up last Tuesday and gave it the tick. So really, there's no reason we can't play and we're looking forward to it.
And it's still got the new paint smell, which is my favourite part. I love that bit. It's so good. Go in there. I could bottle that. Greg, is there any genuine concerns about injuries considering the field with the new turf and hasn't been stitched together yet? And I mean, it's been approved for a reason, but is there concerns for injuries?
No, not really. I mean, it's certainly, I mean, we've had, even that storm yesterday with a bit of rain that came onto the ground was just perfect. So we've had beautiful growing conditions since we put the grass down about 5 or 6 weeks ago. And everyone who lives in Queensland knows that this is the easiest place in the world to grow grass. So it's all knitted together. No, there's no fear about that. There's no fear about any injuries.
I do just want to remind everybody, this is Triple M, not 4BC. I know we're talking here about grass, Dob. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, I like it.
I will say, Swanee, there's a couple of threats here, right? And to be honest, one is the fourth tee at Brookwater, which goes down. If you head off to the right and you've got a big slice in your ball, it could land on this field. That is one thing. Like,
so
if
no
you're a
bad
poor golfer,
golfers.
they could dead set, you could land a ball on this on the fourth.
That is a bad shot. If you end up getting there, I'll tell you that. I'm with you, but that's a real bad shot.
I've been there before, so I don't know what to say about my golf. But, Swatty, in all seriousness, are you thinking about putting some extra steps? Like, it will be sold out there. There's no. So what does capacity look like?
Yeah, we'll have about 8,000. Yeah. I mean, it's a good point you raise there, Dobbo. All those games, most of those grand finals, the two big ones have been in Adelaide Oval. Yeah. And because the season's shifted into cricket season, if Adelaide had got through, they weren't playing at Adelaide Oval anyway. So everybody's playing at grounds that are about, low, 10, 12, 14,000. Unfortunately, that's sort of where we're at this time of year because, we couldn't get on the Gabba. Adelaide couldn't get on Adelaide Oval, et cetera, et cetera. So, but for us, this is why we built this ground. So, not only are we fortunate enough to launch the ground with a grand final, like this is where we'll play every year if we're in a grand final. Like this is now our home and this will be our home ground.
Yeah. Brisbane Lions CEO Greg Swan, this is grand final week. This is it's a very exciting week for your club. The Brisbane Lions AFLW side taking on the Melbourne Demons Sunday in the AFLW grand final. It's been a tremendous season. He's hoping they cap it off in the right way. Pleasure to speak to you, Swanee.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
On Triple M's Rush Hour, we really
Now, some people might already be aware of this one, and judging by you two giggling, I think you know what I'm about to tell you about. The Milton Road billboard.
Yeah.
It's a digital billboard.
It's very big and it's very bright.
Down near the tennis courts.
There's a couple, isn't there? Two in a row.
Yeah.
And I bet when they put up this digital billboard, they thought, "How good is this? No more changing the posters over. We can just do this by computer." Well, like Optus, like Medibank. It's been hacked. And this morning, some clever person hacked it.
I'm going to say a 13-year-old boy, but anyway.
Could be a 46-year-old gentleman.
True.
They decided to replace whatever the advertisement was at the time with Pornhub.
So they've put up a porn video.
No, they've just, not even a video. They've just basically opened their browser.
Shared their screen.
And you know, like when you do a presentation or something, you connect your screen up on the... So imagine...
Was it one video? Was it the homepage?
It was the homepage. So imagine you're driving along Milton Road this morning. You got the kids in the car.
Oh, dear.
What time was this, Edwina?
It was about 9 o'clock this morning.
Perfect timing.
What a shame I wasn't on the road.
Yeah, I didn't see it. I live there.
And you get hit with that.
Porn up.
Oh! That's a bit much.
I love this.
I would have spat out my morning coffee.
There's somebody who started their Monday with the job to update the advertising on there. And clearly how they do it, they plug a USB cable into their laptop and then they upload the video.
Whoopsie.
Now they've not only incriminated themselves as a fan of Pornhub, no judgment, but they've also let the world know on Milton Road. Now, that would be one of the busiest strips coming into Brisbane. I mean, you know, that's one of their hotspots. There's always a speed camera there. It's a
hot spot. The traffic always stops.
There would no
one speed. As it goes up the hill, no, it would have slowed
no
it right down.
No one's speeding this morning.
And it's right at the lights.
You know what? That's a great way to put it. Don't put a speed camera there. Just put a Pornhub on the billboard. Everyone will slow right down. You'll never have an accident there again.
Do we think that this bloke? Do we think that this bloke's kept his job? And I'm saying it's a bloke. I don't think anybody should shout me down. A bloke has made this error. There's no two ways about it.
Let me just the bit my favourite part, because Goa is the company in charge of the billboards,
yes,
but they believe that the inappropriate material was displayed for about 3 minutes.
Well, that's about the average time, isn't it?
It's 2.5 minutes too long.
Qatar World Cup is officially underway.
That's going.
Got underway this morning.
It's so early.
Bit of a lackluster opening fixture. It's Qatar v Ecuador. Qatar making history, though, becoming the first host country in the tournament's history to lose their opening fixture.
That's not great.
So 2-0. Ecuador win. But we need to bring in a man who knows what it's like to represent the Socceroos at the World Cup. And we need to bring him in with the most famous piece of audio in Australian soccer history.
Here's Aloisi for a place in the World Cup. He scores! Australia have got it!
It never gets old. John Aloisi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you can watch it all live and free on SBS. And John, you're a big part of obviously the coverage and the World Cup. Geez, it's had some controversy. It's good that it's underway. It's good that we can actually now start to watch some football and enjoy it. But geez, there's been some negative publicity around everything involving Qatar and what's going on over there.
Yeah, there has been a lot of negative publicity. But look, it's the SBS especially, but you shine a spotlight on Qatar and then the host nation, and we will do that. And we're all aware of the issues and what's going on. And, you know, hopefully with all the discussion that we will get some positive change out of all this, because the world and all the eyes are watching Qatar, and we want, you know, we know the issues. I'm not going to go into it too deeply because, you know, I want to talk about football, but they are there, and let's hope there is positive change out of all of this.
John, Australia taking on France, which is going to be a great game. We've got a few French players out, but we can't take that too lightly. Is it going to be a great thing that we're underdogs in that the French are thinking, oh, Australia, we're just going to flog them?
Yeah, well, I don't think they'll be thinking like that, but they expect it to win. They're the current champions. But look, the positive is that they have got some major players out. They've got Benzema out, who's the Ballon d'Or winner, which is the best player in the world at this present time. And they also have Pogba out, Kante out, Kembepe out. I can name quite a few players that they have out at the moment. But if you still look at their starting 11 or even their squad, they should kill Australia. But that suits us nicely because as underdogs, we seem to perform well. We
love
that
it.
Aussie mentality, that spirit. And as soon as we put on a Socceroo jersey, we think and believe we can beat anyone. And why can't we cause an upset? They're notoriously slow starters, France. It's normally when you win a World Cup, they don't do well in the next World Cup. We know Qatar back to front in terms of the way the environment is, that the culture there, the heat, the air conditioning stadium. So I think we can cause an upset, and I think that we could grab a draw, if not a win.
Gee whiz. I can tell you, we were just talking about it up there. And I don't like, you know, gambling, but they pay $5 for the draw, $10 for the win if Australia win it. So it's interesting to have a flutter there after John Aloisi says it. Have we got our strongest side? There's still a little bit that, you know, Graham Arnold didn't get the selection 100% right for this squad. What's your thoughts on this Socceroos team that will take the pitch on Wednesday?
Martin Boyle, a winger who's been a big, he's a big out for us because he's been great in the qualifying stages in the last few years for the Socceroos. So he's out, but that's an opportunity for Marc Attilio, who's at Melbourne City at the moment. He's only a young player. I think we've got a good balance. I think that the squad that he named is pretty much it selected itself. The only one that I will say is Mitch Langerak, our goalkeeper. That's been the best player in Japan the last couple of years. Didn't get selected. So there's a lot of pressure in that position with Matty Ryan. Haven't been playing regular football of late. But he is our captain. So he needs to step up, and hopefully he does because he's a great goalkeeper. But all around the pitch, I think we've got good balance. We've got some real young, talented players that can make good impact. But Aaron Moy in the midfield will be the one that will have to lead us, because that's the part of the ground that you can win or lose a football game.
And he's hoping Kylian Mbappe doesn't get out the back, because that bloke is like having the turbo button just held down when you're playing FIFA on the PlayStation. The speed is insane, John. I bet you wish you could have run half as fast as that bloke.
Well, if I could run half as fast as him, I might have played at a higher level. He's incredible. He is incredible. I know on FIFA, like you're saying, that he just glides past people. Well, that's what he does in real life. Yeah. He's you just have to make sure you don't give him a lot of space. Mm. And I think that's what Graham Arnold will do. He'll try and restrict the space. We'll sit off. We'll let them have the ball. We'll make it hard for them. We'll try and catch them on the counter-attack. And if possible, you know, when we get free kicks or corners, we've got big Harry Suter at the back. And we maybe might get a goal off the set piece. But, the biggest thing is Mbappe. Don't give him space, because he can really hurt you.
Yeah, exactly. Send the big giant Harry up into the set pieces. That's our best hope. Hey, John Aloisi, a part of this SBS coverage, the FIFA World Cup. It kicked off this morning. It runs all the way through to December 19. It is live and free on SBS. John, enjoy the tournament. I'm sure we'll speak to you again soon.
Thanks a lot.
Here it is.
I want your honest opinion.
Everyone's favourite game. Take it away, Dobbo.
Do you guys think I'm being unreasonable?
Yesterday was a hot weekend, wasn't it? And I live in Paddington, so our houses are very close together. Very good friends with my neighbours and friends with people on our... We've got an escarpment, so it's kind of like an easement that we all live together, but we're all very close. Anyway, Sunday morning I wake up to a lovely sound at 5:30 in the morning. It's my next door neighbour's fire alarm going off. Now, they've gone away for a lovely weekend away. They went to Somerset Dam. They went water skiing for the weekend. They went glamping in these beautiful tents. Well, I decided at 6 a.m. to maybe just shoot them a message to say, "Hey, your fire alarm is going off. Just wanted to let you know. I can't smell any smoke or anything. I don't think your house is burning down, but just wanted to let you know." Anyway, I get a phone call, very groggy. Pete, my neighbour, called back and said, "Is the house okay?" And I said, "Yeah, I think it's okay. But just wanted to let you know, just wanted to give you the heads up." And so all morning they've decided that maybe we can turn the power off. That didn't work because it just goes to battery. It continued until 1:30 in the afternoon. So it went for 8 hours. It's very long, very loud.
So how did it finally stop?
It finally stopped when they came home early from their lovely little weekend away to turn it off.
Hang on. People have gone away for a romantic weekend with their family,
kids,
clamping.
Just went, yep,
and you've decided to ring them at 6 o'clock in the morning.
No, I didn't ring them. I texted them, and they called me back. Turned.
Can I just flag something with you, Liam, about my co-host and our co-host here? She's ruined a weekend away for a couple. Sorry about that, because of a smoke detector. It was obviously the battery. When they go on the blink, the battery's kicking, and that's why they beep. No, just quickly.
It was wiring. The wiring went, they wired up the other ones. This was an old one, so it has a 10-year battery in it.
Right, so, okay.
So it would have gone for 10 years.
10 years, yeah.
And they never come back.
Yeah, they never returned home.
So the people have had the holiday. Do you recall last week that we heard, and am I being unreasonable, because somebody made a noise complaint about uni students up the back.
Mm-hmm. Having a party.
Same people. Same person. We've also heard about the hoarders that have been eaten a couple of months ago. Mm. I'm starting to see that the common denominator here is not the neighbours.
Yep.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yep. I think the unreasonable person is, yes, you are being unreasonable. She is an unreasonable person and a neighbour.
I'm a terrible
like
neighbour.
Yeah, there's a bad neighbour in every neighbourhood, and if you can't identify the bad neighbour,
it's you.
Yeah.
So
these people that came back, what did they say to you when they came back?
They were apologised profusely that their fire alarm went for 8 hours.
Did you apologise for ending their holiday?
No.
Sure. And we wonder why she gets into arguments with other people, with dogs, with neighbours. Mm. Like,
well, I'm glad you had a nice weekend, Lisa.
I didn't. The fire alarm was going off. I can still hear it.
Sunday afternoon, I'm standing in my driveway, starting to put the Christmas lights up around the gutters.
That's a bit early.
Yeah.
21st of November.
Tomorrow on the show. I'll clear it with Alana tonight, but tomorrow on the show, she rarely breaks down. On Sunday in Bunnings, she had a breakdown.
Oh!
full-blown breakdown.
Did you have to film that? Because that never happens.
Never happened. She's the most stoic, composed person I've ever met in my life. And she lost it? She lost it.
Oh, no.
I've got to clear it before I talk about it.
Good call about him filming it. That was probably what he should have done.
It's very rare.
I was up there hanging the clips around the gutter for the lights, positioning, getting everything ready. And then all of a sudden, three little street rats just rolled up the driveway. And they said, excuse me, would you like to buy some candy? And
I'm like, candy? We don't live in the US.
I know. And I was like, don't take candy from strangers anyway. And I was like, let me just race inside and grab some cash. And I went inside and thought.
Did they show their ID or anything?
Hello, I reckon these kids would have been all of 12, 11 maybe. Okay. 11 or 12. Three of them rolled up together. And I thought, look, you know. And so I've walked down and they've got a backpack. And in the backpack they've got, I said, what have you got? I said, oh, we've got some warheads and some Zappos. And I'm like, right.
Their wrappers or?
Yeah, they were still in their wrappers. And
can you guarantee they weren't licked before?
I reckon you've probably pinched these.
Oh.
Anyway, and I said, okay, well, here's $2. Just give me whatever I can have for $2. And one of them said, oh, for $2 you can have this and this and this. And that's what made me think they were stolen because they were giving away.
Offloading.
And then one of them, the brains of the operation, chimed in and said, no, that's too much. That's too much for $2. You can just have this. And I was like,
have you received stolen goods?
I'm pretty sure I've received stolen warheads. Like, not in the big sense, but in the lolly sense on Sunday.
See, to me, these kids, you know, are the making of millionaires.
That's what I thought.
And I love this kind of.
The next Jeff Bezos.
Well, I just love the fact that entrepreneurial skills. Like, I mean, seriously, if you can buy a lolly, like, for 20 cents.
Or steal it.
Or hock it. It doesn't matter how you acquire it.
It's like Jeff Bezos and then if you can selling put a margin stolen
on it,
TVs.
You get a margin on it and some dummy at Currumbin pays for it. I mean, I go, well, you know what? That's good.
I was trying to support the entrepreneurial spirit of these young men. Who knows what they might become? But it got me thinking about your kid businesses because we all had everyone at some stage, whether it is going around and saying, hey, I'll mow your lawn for 50 cents or whatever, we all tried these kid businesses in one way or another. I mean, you went and swam for Australia, not so much.
That was my business. I was my business.
You were very good at 14. Your business. Dobbo, you would have had a myriad.
Yeah,
of
look, I had the chicken roll business and I've talked about it before. We used to go to the chicken shops right on closing, the barbecue chicken shops, and buy all the barbecue chickens at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Buy the fresh bread rolls, make chicken roll sandwiches, and take a ute outside the nightclubs.
That's great.
We couldn't get into the nightclubs, and we'd sell them. Now, it cost us $1 to make the chicken rolls, and we were selling them for $5, and we thought it was Christmas.
Perfect.
Until the North Sydney Council shut us down for illegal parking, and we got fined, and all our profits went. But you know what?
That's part of the business.
It was
journey.
Part of the business. My son's got a real good business. He makes trucker's caps.
Oh,
he's
got
a trucker cap business, and so you can buy trucker caps through him. And mate, he just orders them, puts a margin on them.
There you go.
133353. What was your kid business? What was the business you started in your local neighbourhood, or maybe you did it online, or maybe you, like Dobbo, you rolled out to the pubs and sold food
chicken
to
rolls.
Drunk people out the front? 133353. We want to know about your kid businesses.
Jason and Fernie Grove, what's your kid business?
My kid business used to be, my mum didn't want to give us any pocket money, so me and my brother and sister, we took a jar out of the kitchen and we drew a picture of a tree on the front of it, and then we went door to door on Saturdays and Sundays to collect money for this tree, and then we just went and bought lunch. our mum didn't come on for about 3 or 4 weeks, so you know, we had like 5 or 6 people coming over for lunch every day, didn't know where the money was coming from, and then
say the tree, were you planting this tree, or was it just some random tree?
No, we didn't elaborate. We just said it was a tree.
Because it takes a horrible person to say no to a tree.
Exactly right.
Hey,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, we played on the moral.
Jace, I like this. We got a $100 C&L Tools Banyo voucher for you.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Reward for stealing. Where you want to buy tools, not talk to one, C&L Tools at cltoolcentre.com.au.
Zach in Ipswich, what's your kiddie business?
Oh, I used to sell trees a little later after this, but before that, I was at school selling durries, flinging Winnie Blues.
Yeah.
$2 a smoke, and you sell 10, you get your next pouch. It was pretty smart.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Was that legal? How old were you, Zach, when you went down this road?
Uh, probably 17, 16.
Mm. Yeah, bootlegging.
Statute of limitations has gone on. I think Zach's well and truly clear.
They're a good smoke.
No, hey, nice work, Zach. That's a very entrepreneurial
very
of you.
Very good.
I don't mind that. Like, you know,
you'd have to sell them for more than $10.
No, $2 a cigarette.
Well, you'd have to sell them for more than that to make a margin.
Yeah, what are they, $50 a packet or something?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I don't know. But they're very, very expensive.
Okay. Jeff from Springfield Lakes. What's your kids' business?
Oh, g'day, team. How are you?
Oh, we're good, thank you.
Dob, I reckon this one might be a bit too close to home for you.
Right.
I was a boarder at Ipswich Grammar.
Yeah.
And just sort of felt there was a need. I could see an entrepreneurial opportunity. Right. So I went and bought a bar fridge.
Right.
And then I used to go down and buy all the soft drinks and chocolates and load it up. And then had a great cash business.
Off your, off the borders, off your own boarding house.
Yeah, and did run accounts, and they all paid. And then that was going all well and good until the boarding master at the time said, "You reckon you can tone it down a bit? It's starting to affect our vending machine."
you actually cut out the vending machine at the boarding house. I love that.
Yeah,
I love that. Look, I mean, to be honest with you, you can go into Coles and you can buy a can of Coke, dead set, for, you know, for 50 cents or something like that.
Yeah.
Nothing to put $2 on it. Nothing to do. I love that, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff, have you continued the entrepreneurial spirit into your adult years?
Well, I sort of did. My parents actually had a news agency business and a milk run. So then I'd go home on holidays, I'd bring back the cartons of the UTHF flavoured milks.
Beautiful.
And, clever.
So they were sort of gratis. Yeah. So that was 100%
sort
profit.
Of gratis.
Flog.
Stolen from mum and dad. Yeah. Hey, Jeff, we want to reward that that entrepreneurial spirit. I've got a $100 Totally Workwear voucher for you.
Oh, thanks, guys.
No, you're welcome, mate.
Totally Workwear for all your work gear, all locally owned with the biggest brands and best service throughout Brisbane and the Gold Coast. You know what I've learnt from that phoner?
What's that?
The Rush Hour family are a bunch of crooks.
Crime does pay.
This bloke and his band, they tore apart the Beenleigh Tavern back in September.
They don't crack under pressure.
And then at the Triffid, as part of the Oztober Garage Sessions, alongside Noiseworks and James Rain, they ripped the joint apart. And in great news for the fans of the Screaming Jets, they are coming back. They've got a brand new tour, Aussie Rock, at its almost blistering best. The Screaming Jets are back on the road this summer on their national Rock the Vault tour. Tickets are on sale now at screamingjetsofficial.com. He joins us now, the front man and the host of Triple M Nights, the one and only Dave Gleeson. G'day, Gleeso.
G'day, Liam and Dobbo and Liesl. How you going?
Going well, mate. This is pretty huge. Obviously saw you at Oztober, which you were massive, and that event was just epic. Coming back to Queensland in early Feb, the 24th at the Hamilton Hotel, which is an iconic place on Kingsford Smith Drive. But where I like it is, on the 25th, you're going to the Racehorse Hotel in Beauvale. Now, literally, I was scruffed out of there 2 weeks ago on a Friday night, and it is an iconic joint out just out of Ipswich. But
putting you on the guest list.
No, I'm going to struggle to get back in after my performance there.
Oh, that's good to know. Good to know someone's holding up the end.
Mate, it's pretty big, eh? You guys love touring, and and you've talked about it on this show before. It's almost like a second coming. You know, the fans have evolved, and you're as loved and endeared as much as what you were when you first came out with some of these hits.
Yeah, my word. We just did, as you know, we spoke earlier about the 30th anniversary tour of our first album. Rather than just concentrating on this for the next tour, on that album for the next tour, we're going to concentrate on the whole catalogue, and I guess it's going to be a pretty long show because we've got a bunch of songs to pick from.
Will we hear any more new albums coming out from the Screaming Jets? That would be so exciting with some more new music. I know that's a big ask, but, you know, new music and tours, but any more albums?
Yeah, definitely. We've been actually recording in secret in Brisbane. Or in Manly, actually. We've done probably about 8 tracks already for the new record. And that's what this tour will be, kind of like the precursor to the new record coming out later in 2023.
Oh, good place to do it, too.
Shame
Manly.
I can't be there.
Oh, it's beautiful there. It's amazing.
Screamingjetsofficial.com. That's where you can go and buy these tickets. They are on sale now. 2 shows, Hamilton and Beauvale. Now, Gleeso, tomorrow night, Brisbane is ready to enjoy the Gunners, and then Wednesday night the Coast gets their serve up of the Gunners. Can you just give us a get us in the mood with a? Have you got a Gunners story handy? You've got just a quick one that's safe for radio, of course.
I was lucky enough to tour with a band called Velvet Revolver, which had Duff McKagan and Matt Sorum playing with them, all out of the Gunners at one time or another. And I remember just, you know, trying to soak up everything of being around Slash, even though he's a guitarist. He's one of the coolest cats on earth. So just to be in his presence was great. I'm actually talking to him quite soon. He's going to be on my show. So, that's a good get. I love it when I get the big guy.
Gleeso, can you ask them? I mean, it's 35 degrees in Brisbane today. Do Gunners ever just ditch the rock and roll outfit and just go linen and boat shoes? Like, just really just get some air in there? Because leather is very hot.
I've definitely seen Axel running around in white bike shorts.
No.
But I'm not sure, like myself, he's a younger man then, and I'm not sure how he'd look in those nowadays. He's a man in his 50s. But, I've done some gigs on, you know, outdoor shows where it's been like 48 degrees, the reading off stage. So it's hard to be out there in your black pants and leather, but that's the way it goes.
it's a little bit
like Ross from Friends that's... where it gets stuck.
Yeah.
That is rock and roll. And
no powder.
Gleeso and the rest of the Screaming Jets will be in full rock regalia when they turn up on this Rock the Vault tour again. ScreamingJetsOfficial.com is where you can grab the tickets. Gleeso, a pleasure. We can't wait to hear your chat with Slash on Triple M Nights when it's ready.
No worries, guys. Thanks for your time again. And, can't wait to be back in beautiful Bris Vegas.
Well, the time has come.
Yeah.
You two are very lucky, Liam and Dobbo. You get to play in the Pro-Am at the PGA, but the hardest job you had to do was pick your team. How did you go?
Oh, well, mine was based on loyalty. Liam's was
for
based
people
on
you've never met.
Liam was based purely and simply on that he looked for blokes with the lowest handicap that he could piggyback and crowbar off. It's a bit like his career. It's what he's done his whole life. For me, it was loyalty. 4305 and yes. Anywhere in that vicinity of postcode, I went a long way with it. Yes.
The Fortinet PGA Championships, it kicks off this Thursday. The Wednesday is the Pro-Am, Lisa. So you'll be out of the PGA Masterclass.
I'll be doing the Masterclass.
With a bunch of Rush Hour family
That's
members
right.
as well.
That's right, I'll be entertaining them.
Dobbo and I will be trying not to destroy the ground staff work as we hack our way
around
18
holes. You'll be putting some divots back.
But you're right, we needed to pick team members. And it is with great pleasure, Lisa and Dobbo, I would like to introduce you to my first team member. He listens to the Rush Hour Daily. You talk about loyalty, Dobbo. Well, this bloke is a daily listener.
Yeah, well, I'm proud of him.
Capable golfer with a steady putter. He's a good team player. Greg from Middle Park, welcome to Team Liam for Wednesday's Pro-Am.
Thank you, Liam. Very pleased to be a member of that team.
Oh, well, what was that, Greg? What made you decide to choose him and not myself? Yeah. Be honest.
To be honest, you're larger than life, Dobbo. You know, everyone knows you.
Exactly. Well, Greg knows an athlete when he sees one.
There's no debate about that. I'm not looking. No, we want to talk about athletes.
But maybe better the devil you know. But anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, Greg, it is a pleasure to have you on board.
Thank you. Really looking forward to it, actually.
Are the clubs in good nick? Are you ready to rip and tear?
Yeah, I had a hit on Saturday, so the driver's going pretty good and the putter's working ace.
That's all we need, Greg. If you're off the tee and finishing in the hole, that's all we need. Greg, fantastic to have you on board. I can't wait to see you out there on Wednesday.
Oh, mate, yeah. Me either. Thanks, Liam.
Appreciate it. And also, a quick Dobbo, shout out to Nathan Davis. He's my other team member.
Yep.
And you're right, I have gone for a low handicapper here. He's a former Royal Queensland member.
Good on you.
Junior champion. Yeah. Played with Adam Scott.
You've got a type.
He goes all right.
Yeah. Well, you're in the team, so that's your handicap there anyway. Yeah. Well, listen, when I went and looked through mine, I had a lot of very good applications, and thank you to everybody that nominated. But I just couldn't go past this bloke. And I'll just read it to you. He said, like myself, he's a proud Ipswich resident and a golf nut. Tick, tick. A solid 5 handicap.
Oh!
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. He lives and breathes footy away from the course. Tick. So he's a perfect fit.
Sure is.
Yeah, right.
Now,
match made
the 5 handicapper, if it's at Sandy Gallup, there will be, I probably have pulled the wrong rein because, I mean, you know, like it's my My 17-year-old could be a 5 handicapper there. Nathan McMillan, hello, mate. Congratulations. Looking forward to it. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
All right. Is it Sandy Gallup where you're a 5 handicap rat?
No. A bit further out than that, out at Rosewood there.
Oh, beautiful, mate. Good course. The Royal and Ancient Rosewood. Yeah, no dramas. See, this is it. You've got rugby league, you've got golf, and, mate, he's an Ipswich local.
Nathan, are you feeling okay? Why did you choose Dobbo?
Oh, just that reason. I think we'll have plenty in common. I think it should be a great day.
Yeah, I can't wait, mate. You played at Royal Queensland before?
Oh, I have not, no.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah. Can't wait either, mate.
You've been married before, Nathan?
Now, let's not go into those kind of personal. I mean, everybody's got some common interests. They don't all have to be exact the same. Hey, Nathan, can't wait to play with you, mate. And also to Robert Mitchell. He's a 7 handicapper as well. So I've got a 7 handicapper and a 5 handicapper.
I've been given a mouthful for picking, you know, cherry picking guns. And here you are rolling out a couple of single
digits.
You had an ex-pro. Yeah, who bailed and not available anymore.
Oh,
so.
No.
Anyway, hey, that's it. Teams are in. Nathan and Gary. Nathan and Greg on my team. You got Rob and Nathan. It is going to be an absolute ripping afternoon.
Battle
there
of the Nathans.
And meanwhile, you out there holding court at the PGA Masterclass, Liesl Jones.
I'll be having a champagne on your behalf.
Cannot wait.
I'll be cheering.
Going to be an incredible day. Fortnite PGA Championship. It is the talk of the town at the moment. Time for us to get out of here, team.
Good evening. Good night.
Dobbo.
Farewell, my neighbours.
We'll see you Monday at 4 p.m.